Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I did not live the little
Is it rolling, Bob?
I got the mic set for low sensitivity, so I'm holding this device, recording device, right up to my mouth. There's just so much going on. There's people walking past. I'm on a park bench on a main sidewalk in Niagara on the lake this Thursday, August 3rd, I guess, 4th, I don't know. And yeah, my students are in town shopping or buying ice cream or just whatever, enjoying the beautiful flowers. It's a nice town, but it's a tourist town. It ain't my kind of place. So I usually just find a spot. I lead them to the center of town, point out the meeting place, set a time, give the rules. No girls are going alone, you know. Point out where the washrooms might be. And then I just sit here and relax. I am a little tired. It's a long day. And this is, you know, at least my 25th time to Niagara Falls. It's beautiful. We have our own coach, of course. And the nice thing is we have our own driver assigned to us. And on the way down near Grimsby, where we stop for washrooms and I get a coffee, the air conditioning seemed to break down, so he called into London, Ontario, to send up another bus. So sure enough, another bus comes up, beautiful, just a year old. I mean, these are beautiful coaches. They're not buses, they're coaches. And so after lunch, we just get off the old one and into the new one, and here we are, heading back to meet our families. It's the last night with the host families. So for the girls, it's a tearful farewell tomorrow. And I'm always, my God, I got to herd them onto the bus so that we can get up to camp on time for lunch. But my worry is the packing. I've got to pack tonight. And it's only maybe 10 days I'm going to be away. But I really, there's things you want. I always overpack. I bring way too much crap. But, you know, you want to be clean. You certainly need a lot of T-shirts because I sweat in this hot weather. And you don't want to be stinky and smelly with all these girls around. So, you know, that's the job for tonight, pack. But right now, all I feel like is, well, actually, a nap would be nice. A cold beer would really be nice, too. But it's just not the time. So I thought I would just, you know, get started on this next leg of the tour and say hello from Niagara on the Lake. John Meadows was just here last week, I think, taking some pictures and going to see the Shaw Festival with his wife and at least one of his daughters. My students will be back in another 15, 20 minutes. I suppose I could go and look for a drink, water or something. I just hate paying, you know, $3 for a bottle of Nestle's fucking water that they get for... basically, they steal it. And that's just so wrong. Well, but anyway, hey, not much more to say. In fact, I don't even know why I started now that I think of it. Just checking in, I guess. So I've checked in and I check out. Catch you next time, probably up at camp. Cheek, cheek, cheek. Oh, good morning, good morning. It is Saturday, August the 5th. If I end up stopping talking suddenly, don't be surprised. I'm at Bark Lake. Welcome back to Bark Lake. Oh boy, here they come. This group from Brazil. I'm losing my place here at the pavilion. Yes. Lots of groups here. Our group, we were the first to arrive, and it was lovely. We had lunch and supper by ourselves. And we have the entire Oak Center to ourselves. And this is like a luxury camp cabin. And but since then, groups from China have arrived, groups from Brazil, I don't know who else. And it's just full of counselors everywhere. But we're a very special group. We are the favored group here. And that's lovely. That's something. One of the balls I sort of keep up in the air. Like, hey, the Kamanjo group is coming. And we want your best counselors. And the counselors really vie for this position because these girls are so easy to work with. They listen. They pay attention. The teachers are here as supervisors. Other groups come with chaperones who sometimes don't speak English and really don't care what goes on. They're just here and turn it all over to the staff, and the other students don't listen. Ours are here very much for a very specialized program, so it's an entirely different ballgame. And if I was just doing this as a business, you know, running groups through places, I simply wouldn't be doing it. I'm doing it because this is a very, very much of a caring, sharing experience. And I am just so, so fortunate to still have this job. By the way, congratulations, Ken. I've been miscounting, not surprising, thinking next year would be my 25th anniversary. In fact, it's this year. My first tour was 1993. This is 25 years in business. 25 years since starting the very first study tour on a chance to see if it was going to work. And I mention often, there are many, many other people involved in the beginning to make this work. But basically, I did approach the school and say, look, I've got an idea for a program here. And worked with East Shore Board of Education, the Asia Pacific Foundation, financing, and got this thing off the ground. So anyway, again, I don't want to sound like I'm overcrediting myself, but it just is fabulous. Damn, fucking mosquito. I stayed up late last night with the teachers. I bought them some sangria and had beer and red wine myself, and we still have plenty of supplies left, along with snacks. Just to stay up late and talk about people, talk about the school, talk about the history of these tours. I've got records of every teacher who ever came, and who they came with, and sometimes stories about what happened. And with the understanding that what happens in Bark Lake stays in Bark Lake. We're not talking crazy stuff here. Sometimes crazy stuff. But anyway, you're not going to hear it. The two teachers are wonderful, Chica from last year and Toshiko, who's my wife has great admiration for, and that's something that makes me really happy. They went out to dinner together, and both were former, flight attendants, thank you. Both left, but they're quite amazing. Toshiko in particular doesn't seem to age at all since, she came here 20 years ago almost, and just hasn't changed. So we talk and we share a lot, and it's this sort of the tradition is, okay, 9 o'clock, girls off to your rooms, have your baths, get ready for tomorrow, it's going to be a busy day. Then we shut down the lights and we have sofas and chairs in the Oak Center, and we get out our snacks and our drinks and just share some very pleasant time together. It's a highlight of the tour. Food here is good. Just had pancakes, sausage, and boiled egg for breakfast with yogurt and fruit. Absolutely wonderful. And anyway, I'm just on very much on an up. And I have been, actually, from this whole tour. Maybe that's a fitting celebration of the 25th year. For some reason, it seems to have gone very, very smoothly. It is, quite naturally a history of my life, too, because, lots has happened in 25 years. And yet I continue to do this. This is sort of a one common thread that runs through the past 25 years of my life, the summers with the Kamanjo group. And I was amazed at how comfortable I am in the role. and how nice it is to talk to the families and to feel the goodwill that's exchanged when the families, like when we left, when we pulled out of Wexford, the students were crying. They've only been with these families for 10 days, but they just, the families, that when they meet them after school, you know, most of them, not all of them, every family is different, but would greet the girls with a big hug and how are you, and the girls feel the love, they feel the care. And that's why I have to be so careful about who I choose. This is not people who rent out a room in their basement to supplement their income. One of the hosts always says, look, Ken, I would do this even if you didn't pay me. But the deal is just trying to make everybody happy. I explained to the teachers the whole formula for this business is win, win, win. Everybody's got to be a winner. It's got to work for everybody. It's not nothing at the expense of something else, which makes it very easy to, you know, carry on. I don't know. I'm tumbling over my words right now. I'm not sure really where I want to go other than to let you know I'm really happy here to be back at Park Lake. I have my favorite little room right in the corner, number 12. It's a beautiful big room, handicapped access, which I don't need, but it's just great. When I walked down the hallway at 11:30 last night on my way back to my room, there was not a sound anywhere in the building. All the girls, two to a room, asleep. Which is quite amazing, because sometimes they, other years, they've been pretty noisy. But this group has been so well trained by the senior teacher, Toshiko, who came with them. And she's known these girls for 3 years, and has just done the most remarkable job of bringing them up through the ranks. And she's an exceptional person herself, very relaxed and... very motherly, but somehow has done just an absolutely great, great job. Little things happen, little emotional things. I'll share a little bit of an inside story here because I think it's interesting. I mean, some of these girls are very outgoing and they're just, bam, they're into it. And as soon as they meet their family, it's all smiles and, yeah, sure, I want to go shopping. And, yeah, let's go to Wonderland or whatever. Others are very, very shy and reserved. It's just their nature. But we include those girls on the trip, and naturally, their written English is probably superior to the others. They really want to gain something from this. Their parents want them to gain maybe self-confidence and so on. But one of the girls was in tears yesterday, and my first reaction is, oh, Christ, what's she crying about now? What's, you know, this is, come on, we're at camp. Just make the adjustment, you know, the first automatic reaction. But I've since learned to filter that out and not say anything and think a little bit, okay, there might be a valid reason. And the reason was simply that she was thinking about her host family and how she was the shy one and how she wished she could have spoken more with them. That she'd said goodbye, everybody tearful when they say goodbye, and these tears just lasted a little longer because she realized that she won't get another chance to really show them how much she cared and thank them. And it was an exceptional family, one who's done it many years, who genuinely care about the girl's well-being. And this girl just felt she needed that family to know how much she appreciated it. And that's kind of a beautiful thing. It's weird. It's weird how I ended up doing this, and yet you might say there was an inevitability that I'd end up doing something. Here's me sort of sometimes being a little too envious of my teacher friends. For example, our guide in Niagara Falls, a retired teacher, talking about how wonderful it was, these pensions that they have, how well they live. And he was doing it good-naturedly. We are so lucky in Canada. His family are immigrants from Russia. And, you know, family of 10 children and married into his wife's family of 14 children. And just how wonderful it was, like the freedom we have here and to live the life of comfort that they have. And I had to remind him, yes, well, I'm one of those people who, as an ESL teacher working part-time here and there, really does not have an index pension. And now how do I get onto that? Because I didn't really want to talk about that. Oh, I guess, yeah, so that's one of the reasons I'm still doing this thing, and yet this is a joyful way, and again, I look back, okay, well, what part of your life do you want to change? The only part I would want to change about my entire life is just if I could just rewind back when the boys were little boys, and I don't know, slow down that time, maybe, be more there for it. I mean, I look back and it's not like I was away, you know, working in a camp or something and left my children behind. I was there with them. They were sitting on my lap. I was carrying them, riding a bicycle around Niigataken with my son on the front handlebars in a little basket, Japanese style. I mean, I did live through all that, but it's sort of the thing you want back. Maybe that's why a lot of people like being grandparents, although I don't think that's going to happen in my case. But anyway, I just have so much to be grateful for. I just feel so blessed and so fortunate, index pension or not. And I don't know. I'm thinking ahead to... my son is going to visit the end of... or in August, just around the time I want to take off on the road trek. And I'm thinking, how are we going to work that out? So, but we'll see. We've still got days. We've got another day here before we head off to Ottawa. There's just one damn mosquito, and I think I got it. Good. And Quebec. So you'll be hearing from me a little more. I don't think I'll be posting this podcast from Bark Lake, just because the internet is very... there is none unless I go into the office, and it would not look good. I carried that damn MacBook Air, thanks Jason, with me, and I haven't even opened it up yet. I just don't have any interest. Like, I'm here at Bark Lake, I don't want to be looking at my computer. It's enough to be talking to you. Oh, by the way, I have been listening to the first show I went to, of course, was the Show Hole, and it's one of those things that I like it simply because I know everybody in it except for Heavy D, but I certainly feel I know her and heard enough about her and look forward to meeting her one day. It's enjoyable listening simply because I know the people. And if it had been a group of people, and there are many other group podcasts, couple casts, but, you know, small groups, friends, and I didn't know them, I just wouldn't put in the time or the effort or the... It wouldn't mean anything, and they'd make a joke, and I wouldn't find it funny. But because I know Brent, and I know everybody involved on this Show Hole, it's fun. It's an intimacy to it. It's you're joining in the game. It's like you're there with them, and you're waiting for the one-liners, and you're waiting for the quick quips and comebacks and so on, and the technical difficulties. So... I've just given myself the pleasure, allowing myself a little bit of time while I'm here to listen to the Show Hall. And anyway, we've had a little bit of rain. It's very, very cool and overcast right now, but it's not pouring rain. The girls have gone off on a nature hike to the Beaver Dam, and I will have nothing to do with that. Thank you very much. I think I'm going to go back and get myself a coffee. I could just sit in the lounge. I could go back and... It's just all of Bark Lake here to enjoy. Haven't had a chance for canoeing yet. But that's somewhere on our list. But we'll see how it goes. If it's very windy, it's not fun. If it's raining, it ain't fun. So we'll just have to play it by ear. Oh, we did have three staff, Jade, Sophie, and Kate. Three young ladies assigned. Jade had worked with us 2 years ago and has matured greatly and has just taken over the leadership of the group and is doing a wonderful job. An entirely new staff here. All the people I used to know in the office have gone, and I'm dealing with new people. So it is a little bit of... I was explaining to the teachers, part of my job is just to keep the continuity going, that the name Kamajo resonates at Bark Lake. Oh, yes, the Kamajo group's coming. You know, Ken's group of girls... and it gets passed on from group to group so that people want to work with them and be, oh, yes, I heard about your group. Yes, yes, yes. So I will have to go and put in my booking reservation for next year at this time. In fact, I'll do that today or tomorrow. and carry on. So, boys and girls, I'm going to sign out for now, and I'll talk to you a little later. I'll try and make one complete podcast from Park Lake, maybe post it from Ottawa. Hope I get. Last year I had the suite with the sauna and the dining room and a complete executive suite. I hope I get that again, but hard to say. All right, I think they're playing hide and seek or something. I don't know. Scarborough dude, actually, no, Ken. Signing off for now. Bye bye. Little later on that same afternoon, Saturday, about 2 o'clock, I'm at what's called Canoe Beach. A very overcast and just the finest mist, but boy, those clouds are moving in. And right now, all 32 of my girls and one of the teachers are out in canoes out on the lake here, just learning their way around. We got three to a canoe. Somebody sitting on the floor in the middle. We had one little disaster getting into the canoe, and she just landed on her bum in the water. But they've all got life preservers. They're okay. I'm not out there, and usually this time I'm with one of the teachers, but it didn't work out. They had three staff, and it was just easier for her to go with one of the staff members. And I stayed behind and helped them get into the canoes and launch them from the beach, getting in the water. And I'll be more use helping them when they try and land them on the beach and get out without falling in. So that's my role today. That's part of the job. I do like to be out there. I just, you know, I've just got so many good canoeing memories here. Many, many years ago, I paddled one of those ones I'm looking at now, the Voyager canoes. The group of girls up pulled it up onto an island, and that was a highlight of my canoeing career. Some of you will know I did have a canoe, a beautiful fiberglass one. I'm really glad I look back at that. When the boys were very young, and my wife could handle one end of it, but put it up on top of our van, and off we'd go. Eventually sold it to a neighbor who was able to make better use of it than I was in later years. So, I don't know. I guess I'm just not going to get canoeing in this trip, but that's all right. My main purpose of being here is to make sure these girls have a good time and get in some good, challenging and exciting experiences. It's such a delight. You'll probably hear some songs interspersed between these clips of the girls just, you know, singing those goofy campfire songs and having fun. I'll record them when they're singing for the staff on our last night. It just is oh so special. There's just no way around it. And you wouldn't want there to be. It's just kind of right. I guess a lot of people have jobs they like. I have a thread I wanted to pick up on earlier, how I would never be a camp counselor. I couldn't handle this. Number one, I would just have no patience for the kids. I'd be yelling at them. And the ones who disobey. Our girls are great. I could handle a group of Japanese girls, but all these other kids, they just don't seem to listen or care. And, you know, it's bad enough teaching a class of adults who don't pay attention. Anyway, I was never the sports type. I've talked about that a lot on this show. I didn't know I needed glasses until I was in grade 5 and just wasn't seeing the board properly. And I think it was holding me back just a little. I mean, I didn't fail, but I was always needing help from somebody beside me to copy what they were copying from the board. And I finally got that settled. And probably that had something to do with my inability to play sports properly. But also just never taught. Like, nobody in my family. I had an older brother and an older sister. And I guess they took tennis lessons. And maybe they were in sports at school. But we left when I was in grade 3. Or finished grade 3. We left our town of Valleyfield and moved to Lakeside Heights, Pointe Claire, West Island, Montreal. And by then, kids had already known each other and started sports. I was the newcomer. I was only there for 1 year. And absolutely hated every minute of it. And cried. And was miserable. And didn't understand the games or anything that they were doing, and nobody was showing me. And I had nobody, you know, my parents weren't active at all in sports, ever. We just were not a sports family. And then we moved, and by the time I got into grade 5, it was already, oh, you know, Bull's lousy, you know, don't pick him on your team, make sure he's last. And I did. I remember I signed up for a hockey team before knowing if I could skate or not, and once was going to go for baseball. I think, well, all the other kids are playing baseball. I guess I'll go there. And then finding out, geez, they have positions and things you're supposed to know about. And, you know, some guy bragging, I'll be the pitcher, you know, I'm first base, you know. And Bull, of course, would be put out in field, put him out in left field, if anything. But nothing happened there. And it's kind of sad in that it's a big part of your life. And it is about the team building, but it's about, you know, the camaraderie of, you know, boys playing sports together and having fun. And that's completely missing from my life. And so I guess now that I'm, you know, almost 70 and lawn bowling, that's fine. I really like it. It's not really competitive. Nobody's shouting at you for people shake hands before and after the game. Nobody's a loser. And the canoeing is something I sort of picked up. It's not, I guess you wouldn't call it a sport, but it's, you know, outdoor activities where you have to have some degree of competence. And I loved it. It was a very nice thing, and it was a good feeling to at least have done that. I know another theme I pick up on this show all the time is just building confidence in your life and how a lack of confidence can hold you back so much and be painful and just slow you down. And in my case, I was fortunate that something or other forced me to go ahead to take on challenges so that I would make up for those feelings of inadequacy and, you know, not being able to do something or being a loser. And it just pushed me to maybe achieve a little more in different ways. I'm talking about travel and, you know, going through group therapy and doing stuff that were challenges of a different kind. And but, you know, I keep forgetting that when I had friends who weren't shouting at me, actual friends I'd hang out with on the weekend, it was really fun, even though I was lousy. I had to play 21, you know, baseball bat, and get out there and try and catch them, so you got to turn up at bat. I seldom got the 21 points to get up at bat, but I still, it was something to do, and it was fun, and you're with friends, and they didn't care if you missed a pop fly. Yeah. So, amongst all these girls here, of course, there are so many types. There are the ones who already, you look and you can almost see into their future of who's going to be a very good homebody and make a very good wife and a very, very good mother, and who wants to have fun and maybe travel a little and do something a little different with their life. And you sort of get a little bit of a sense of the personality shining through. We had an incident today of tears. It was a little bit sad, and I feel guilty. I feel partly responsible of a girl locked out of her room. Well, we have one rule here: never take the key out of the door. We're in this Oak Center all by ourselves. There's no possibility of theft. So just don't take the key out, because what happens? People take the key out of the door and then leave it in the room, and they're locked out. So, the number one rule: just leave the key in the door. Close it. You know, at night you're fine. You're safe in your room. But don't take the key out. And the girl came up and started saying she couldn't get into her room. She wasn't able to even find the words well enough to express that. But we knew she is locked out. Her key is in her room. Oh. And she was talking about air conditioner, aircon. Try aircon, key. And I'm just baffled. I have no connection. And I'm just annoyed that, hey, there's a very simple rule: don't take the key out. And obviously you've taken the key out, and now you're locked out. And what the hell's that got to do with an aircon? And who needs aircon? And what? I'm not understanding. And I didn't quite say it that way, but my face showed my complete bafflement and, well, perhaps a little impatience, a little annoyance that it's such a simple rule. Why did you do that? And she was trying again. Key, aircon, use key. And I'm thinking, use a key for the key, your door key for the aircon? This is not, I don't understand. You know, why is the key? And I was impatient. And suddenly she just burst into tears. Like she just fell apart. And there was another Japanese teacher there too, equally puzzled. But she was standing right beside me, the student. And of course her kind teacher, the lead teacher who's taught her for 3 years, came up. And I said, now, should I go to the room or maybe... And we agreed it was better if she just goes with the student to try and understand the story of the key and the aircon. It turns out it was a very simple thing. The student took her into another room that was open. And there it looked, they thought, was an aircon on the roof, which probably was a heater. And they thought they could, the room was cold. They wanted to put the heater on. She couldn't open up the thing to get the switches, couldn't find it, so she thought she took the key out of the door. Perfectly sensible, of course, except when you don't have enough English to explain that, it gets to be a very confusing story. So she showed the teacher, and then the teacher understood, and of course she was locked out. So I thought, well, I don't have a phone, or the, walkie-talkies to get another key. There's no way I'm going to walk all the way down looking for staff to find out who's got the key and walk back with them. So I said, well, lunchtime, we'll get it settled. And you can just wait in your friend's room. Everybody agreed that was okay. And the teacher was getting her to wash away the tears. It's okay. And then I remembered there is a special room that has spare keys. And if that room is open. And so I tried to make a nice thing out of it. I hid the key in my back pocket. And I said, we just need a key. And I tried the door and it didn't work. And then a girl who was in the room across put her key in the lock, and it didn't work. I said, oh, no, that's not going to work. Oh, what about this key I have in my pocket? It says number 8. And so I got the other student to put the key in the login, sure enough, it opened, and oh, good. And I tried to make it up to her. I didn't entirely succeed, but she was fine after that. She's no longer in tears. And I will be very, very, very careful next time somebody has a problem that involves keys and air conditioners and things that don't make any sense. I will just be patient and smile. That's okay. Show me. Just show me. Anyway, it's all good, as they say, as I believe. I got to go to the office. I got to pay my bill for this place, and I got to book next year, and I think I'm even going to book the next 2 years, because we really want to hold our place here. It's a wonderful, wonderful spot. There's not many places you can find like this, and we really are sort of the A1 celebrity clients, I think. And do get well looked after. The food here is great. Well, great. It's camp food, but just free food for me when you can walk up with a tray and somebody loads up plates of food for you. That's always a good deal. God, friends like Brent doing Uber McDonald's. Whoa, my God. Come on, guy. That's disgusting. Anyway, we'll leave that there. That's another world. That's the world of podcasting. And right now I'm in the world of Bark Lake and nature. And oh my God, this trip gets over so fast. It just ends way too quickly for everybody. And yet, each day, it's full and we do our bit. You just cannot slow down time. You can't. Scarborough Dude, not, but Ken, is signing off now. Bye for now. It is now 4 o'clock on that same Saturday afternoon. Yeah, boy. I went into the office here to get some Wi-Fi and send an email to Japan. And what I did was book this place, this facility, this Oak Center at Bark Lake, which is a very popular destination for weddings in the area, because you got like 24 rooms, and each can hold two people. So, and then this huge area in the middle. So you could have a fine party here. I mean a real big party. Because that common area is like two giant rooms with high ceilings and a opening onto the deck overlooking the lake. It's spectacular. And it's ours. So we did have the problem last year, 2016, when, you know, they had a booking agent. And they said, oh, you weren't fast enough. So I went in today, paid my bill in full. And then made reservations for 2018, the next year, and said, while I'm at it, let's do 2019, too. And then I wrote an email back to Japan and said, you're under no obligation to take these. However, these are the dates I'm booking for your three-week tour for 2018 and 2019. So that's a commitment. If the school turns back and says, sure, I got two more years of my summers mapped out, and I think it would be a good thing for me. I mean, honestly, this little bit of a disability in walking, it slows me down, but here we are. I don't have to walk off to the arts and crafts room to watch them make their dream catchers. I can be in my room where I am right now with a nice... with a nice little bottle of a Cab Merlot open, and there's a very, very nice chocolate that I bought for the teachers to nibble on, and a piece of beef jerky, and any number of other snacks, and just having a very, very pleasant time, knowing the only thing I have to remember now is that supper will be at 5:30. So this, you know, why would I give up this gig? It'd be crazy. So I just wanted to share that with you. And a couple of two other bits of good news. I had stuffed my new MacBook Air into a bag and didn't bring it. And I'm still grumbling about why did I even buy it? That damn Jason Reese talked me into it. And of course, Jason, you know that in time I'll be thanking you for that. Because I will be using it at the college in the fall, and it's going to be a lifesaver. But I realized after I recorded the previous clip, oh, damn it, I forgot to bring the little adapter that plugs into a USB port and connects to my Olympus LS10 to copy the audio MP3 files over. Damn it. And then remembered, wait a minute, of course this has a little SD card. From memory, an 8-gigabyte card, which is where I put all my recordings. And sure enough, I'd pull my new Mac that's barely been used out of the bag. And yes, sure enough, there is a little SD card slot. And bam, I open up, you know, not Facebook, GarageBand. And slap in some pieces in the song. So what you're hearing right now as you're listening is all a result of me bringing along that new toy and, you know, using it to put this together. I guess I will upload this in Ottawa, probably. But there we have it. And it also means if I do, or when I do, take longer trips on the road trek, I will be able to release podcast on the road, which is really what it's all about. And again, for that one, I thank Jason, and actually both Jasons, because the other Jason was saying, you know, yeah, I'd rather hear it as it's happening, you know, like running out of gas in bumfuck Tennessee, you know. So anyway, that was good news. Another bit of good news, I bring the teddy bear every year on the tour. It's just a thing I do, and sometimes too, and I set them up in the front seat with me, and the girls think they're kind of cute, and I always find, usually it's a teacher, I say, could you take it back to Japan, please? And they do, and it's just a nice little thing. When they get on and off the bus, they always see the teddy up front. And I forgot mine, or thought I had forgotten mine. Oh, and I had quite a nice one, a big one, wearing like a lumberjacket and a, you know, a hat for the winter. And sure enough, there it was, stuffed in my computer bag. So I found that, too. And that's it. And now I'm just going to lie here. Oh, one more thing, two more things. Well, one more in particular. I knew before I went on this trip, okay, you gotta bring books. You gotta have a book that you're just gonna, you know, when you're out of cottage, you wanna do, that's quality reading time. Cottages and books really go together well. So I went into The Great Escape on Kingston Road. And I think I mentioned to you already the book I found right here in my hand, Hickory Wind, The Life and Times of Graham Parsons. Now, I really don't know Graham Parsons, but I knew the Flying Burrito Brothers, and I knew, the other bands he was in. You know, who are they? The Birds. And his name pops up here and there. But it's quite a sad story. And, you know, I didn't realize he really died at 27. I'd read the Graham Nash book. Well, this is a perfect compliment to it, because I really didn't like Graham Nash. I have the feeling, maybe I won't like Graham Parsons either. I mean, bam, you know, just another drugged-out, unnecessary death from people who just can't handle the fame. But the background story is fascinating, of a very wealthy Florida family, of what with a history of mental illness and chronic alcoholism and death. So it's like the guy didn't even have a chance. But very well written, and it's just, you know, you just read a chapter and you feel, wow, that was quality time, you know, and it's well written. That was time well spent. So that's my other bonus for today. So I guess that's it for now. I want to get back. I've had a couple of sips of wine and had some chocolate, and it's just time to stretch out here on my bed and either have a little nap or read a little or listen to the damn last 15 bloody minutes of the show hole. I think that's what I'll do. Yours truly, Ken, signing off. From Brazil, sitting around the big campfire. Our girls are off doing archery. It is that same evening. It's 8 o'clock at night. Not raining. Clouds moving in, but patches of blue behind. But just a cool day. I'm very glad I'm wearing my black Bark Lake jacket they gave me for my 20th anniversary. It's got the name Ken on the side. Thrilled to have it. Very upset. I always, whenever I go anywhere, I always think of one thing that I left behind that I wish I had. And today it's my Bark Lake sweatshirt. It's just like, you can't go on a trip without bringing a sweater, you idiot. And, you know, in the rush to pack, I couldn't see it. I don't know where I put it, but, you know, I just wish I had it. It's such a cozy thing. And it's great when, if it's a hot day and you're sweating, you just put on a sweatshirt and, you know, absorb all the crap. Bought myself a new t-shirt and a new hat. I do that every year when I come here. Not always the hat, but it's a nice one. Bark Lake, of course. And talked with the teachers, and we realized, of course, this year we are here one day shorter than previous years, just to economize, you know, make up for the high cost of airfare in peak season. But I'm toying with the idea of, oh, gee, how much more would it be if we stayed an extra night? You know, could I factor that in? Could I raise the price without them being upset too much? The default is no, sorry. Keep it the way it is and keep the price the way it is, but with just maybe not a huge raise per student. might be able to get an extra night out of it. That would be kind of nice, because the teachers agree and myself. It's just a fine place to hang out. And this place is very weather-dependent. If it's really rainy or threatening storms, which can be up here, then there's things you can't get out in the canoes. You can't go up in the high ropes. It's just too dangerous. So you can end up missing things that are essential to the Bark Lake experience. So throwing in an extra day just gives you that extra fudge factor, you know. Okay, well, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do indoor crafts today. I spent some time just sitting in the Oak Center. There was about six girls, maybe the more studious types, you know, sitting around doing their journals, their diaries and notes. And it was the most lovely experience. They were just so calm and so mature, and they're writing neatly, and then they'd hand me the book to check and ask me, you know, and I'd check some of the grammar mistakes of, you know, verb tense agreement and so on, little things. It was just pleasant, sort of the opposite of the earlier experience I talked about when the girl, you know, the key and the aircon problem. This was just so nice, and I bought 32 books, the Hillary notebooks. I'd just seen them at Staples in packs of four. And I thought, you know, those are kind of nice. They don't weigh anything. They're flat. And I pointed out I like them because, number one, they remind me of when I was a student. They're almost the same. But secondly, that they're also French and English on the cover and on the back. They always had a place to write your timetable and your schedule and your exam dates and, you know, things we never filled out. But just kind of neat. And they came in four colors, pink, green, blue, and yellow, and the girls got to pick theirs. And it was just a nice little extra exchange. But what was really neat about it, the girls had an electronic dictionary with them for checking the spelling and meaning of a word or something. But it also had classical tunes on it that they could just sort of poke in the background. And so instead of them sitting there playing some stupid game, they were playing the classical music, and they were familiar with all the tunes and were listening. It's just students have a better overall education, and I don't want to badmouth Americans or Canadians, but I can't imagine a group of, you know, six 16-year-old girls sitting around writing journals and listening to classical music and enjoying it, humming along and so on. It's really, really nice, and this is why this country, Japan, is just a little more advanced in some ways than a lot of other places. But hey, I have my biases, and I'm definitely in favor of their many things about their education system. Not everything, but certainly not the way they treat teachers. Oh my God. These teachers have so much pressure and responsibility, and, you know, long days compared to Canadians, no matter what we say about Canadians with tough students who use bad language and so on. Wow. It's night and day, believe me. Anyway, I just wanted to join in again. I'm sitting in one of my favorite spots here up on the deck just outside the dining hall, looking over at the canoes that are all stacked up in the lake and the branches overhead. It's just such a pleasant place to be. And the fact that here I am committing for the next 2 years of my life to be here, and then on top of that, trying to figure a way I can, you know, economically or feasibly, financially, add another day on to the time. So we'll see. I'm going to talk that over with our travel person to see if the dates would work for her too, and so on. Anyway, that's it for now. The smell of campfire is so nice. This is me having a nice time and wanting to kind of end off this podcast. So maybe this will be it. Maybe this will be my goodbye. I hope I gave you enough of a positive vibe that you get a sense of how much I enjoy coming back here. And now this is just so strangely a regular part of my life that I don't think about it much in advance, but yeah, this is the place I come back to. Here's me whining about not having a cottage, but I've got Bark Lake. All right. Oh, by the way, that book on Graham Parsons, it is just so well written and so interesting, especially his parents and, you know, probably leading towards why he was so fucked up on drugs and alcohol. Sad, 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 sad stories of these creative musicians wasting their talent. Bye for now. See you in Ottawa. If this is the end, I'll, Ottawa or Quebec City, probably. Bye-bye. S'mores, we love s'mores, they're saying. Girls asked me how to spell that. They wanted to know the word, so I explained it was, they're so good you want some more, so that's why we call them s'mores. And the apostrophe is optional. You may see a cover picture for this podcast of one of the girls eating a s'more. It's such a delightful picture. I just feel a little, just not sure if it's safe for me to put up a picture of one of the students on my Dixon Jane's podcast. It's just kind of touchy. I mean, I could put up a canoe and that'd be fine, but it's such a wonderful picture. Bye for now.
I gotta get back to my shop.